Romans chapter 12, our text is the same as last week as we beginning to dig a little deeper into these verses. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. And when you found that, would you stand as I read these verses in your hearing? We ask God to help us in our understanding to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Our Father, we yield ourselves to you to be taught. We need you. We've sung that we need you. We've prayed that we need you. And so, Lord, here we are, a needy people before our loving God and Father. Speak to us now. Your people, listen. Forgive this poor lump of clay for his sins. And even me, Lord, would you use even me for your glory, for the good of your church. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is special gifts for special people. Special gifts for special people. We've been on this journey for several weeks now and trying to understand a bit more about biblical worship. And we find ourselves now having come to the place of spiritual gifts. Our special God has given his special gifts to his special people to use them for his glory and for the good of his people. I went back to look at my notes because I didn't think that I was coming to this subject matter in preaching on worship. This wasn't my intent. But any preacher can tell you it's better to yield to God than to try to fight him and preach something that you just forcing your way through. And the reason that I wondered why I'm coming to this subject again, I went back to look at my notes. In my 23 years of preaching, I've preached on spiritual gifts 4 times. This will be the 5th time. Many of you have heard me preach every time. And you realize that I'm not where I used to be. Not where I ought to be, but I'm not where I used to be. And so I didn't understand, you know, why does God keep bringing me back? I guess because I don't have it yet. So y'all pray for me that I understand more and I'll try to impart what God, I mean, to be quite honest with you, any preacher is foolish to think that you've understood something fully anyway, whether you preached on it 1 time or 10 times. Man preaches? So, I'm telling you, I'm preaching on faith today. I hope that I do that every time we get together. But today I want to begin defining these special gifts. And I want to see if I can assist you in discovering which ones you possess. if you're a Christian. It's a great privilege to have these special gifts. It's a great tragedy not to have enough interest to even learn what you have. Or even greater tragedy not to use what you have. So I feel burdened. I feel burdened. My burden is to see every Christian fulfilled in your life. Every Christian fulfilled in a ministry that God has called you to. I have a burden to see Christians come through these doors at New Hope with joy. A burden to see you come through these doors with contentment. Not because everything's going so well, but because you know you're in the will of God. You know what you're using. You've offered what you have to God. And that you're just pleased and thankful to be a servant. And so that's my burden as we attempt for a fifth time to preach on spiritual gifts. There are four basic principles that I want to present to you. And I hope that these will guide us through these gifts. There are many more, but I want to present these four to see if they'll help us. Number one, all gifts are available to the church as the Holy Spirit desires. All of the gifts are available to the church as the Holy Spirit desires. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 11 says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills." The Holy Spirit distributes gifts as He wills to the church. Now, why is that important? It's important because no man has the authority or the right to say that any gift has stopped functioning. Regardless of what you've read, and I know I've read good men, good commentaries, men who I trust who've reached that conclusion. But I'm saying to you on the authority of the Scriptures, no human being has the authority to say what the Holy Spirit has stopped doing. Also, this principle means no one can claim a gift. Just because you want the gift of exhortation, you can't claim it and say it's mine. You can't claim the gift of tongues. You can't claim the gift of healings. The Holy Spirit gives as who He desires. Principle number one. Principle number two. Every believer has at least one gift. No believer has all the gifts. Every believer has at least one. Listen to me now. And there's no reason for any believer in here to think that you only have one, but I am saying that you have at least one. But no believer has them all. There's only one who had them all. And we'll look at him as we study. So then, okay, let me just show you that. I gather that principle from you. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 29 and 30. Now these are rhetorical questions. The Holy Spirit asking rhetorical questions. The obvious answer to the question is no. All right? All are not apostles, are they? The answer is no. All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracle, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? The answers to these questions is what? No. No single gift is possessed by every believer. You hear me, New Hope? Now, I know many of us watch TV, and one of the popular doctrines on TV, you see worship service on TV, where everybody is speaking in tongues, and preachers are making people feel that their faith hasn't been exercised. If you can't, the Bible says that that's error. And I don't plan to linger there long. These are basic principles that will guide us. Because New Hope Baptist Church needs to be rooted and grounded in sound doctrine so that when you use your gifts, you're using them for what? God's glory and the good of the church. And the only way that's going to happen is to use them according to the way He says. No single gift is possessed by everyone. Third principle. Your gifts will manifest themselves as you get involved. So you don't need to continue to pray. How long have you been praying? Pray and get involved. Pray and get involved. Wouldn't it be a sad thing for little Elijah. Kim has been teaching him about his foot. And this is what that's for. And this is a parable, all right? Let's say that Elijah could reason this way. And he's sitting there saying, well, Mom, I'm going to pray about that foot. And I'm going to pray about it a while before I really see if it's given to me to walk on. I'll let you know, Mom, the next 6 months or so, how it comes out. The only way he's going to learn to use the foot is to use it. Your gifts will manifest themselves as you get involved. What are you saying, Brother Willie? I'm saying you must yield to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. What does He do? He will enable you to see needs. And Christian, let me say something to you. Don't assume that everybody sees like you see. God gives you gifts and you see things through your gifts. How many times have we made that mistake in our homes to think that our spouse sees things exactly the way we see them? Or our children see things exactly the way we see them, right? Our aunts, our uncles, our grandparents. So don't assume that everybody in the church sees what you see. If God, if the Holy Spirit reveals needs, see if you can't get involved. That's where, you know what the word ministry means? Service, right? So you see a need, see if you can meet it. If you are inactive, you will not discover your gifts. Amen, principle number three. The last principle then that'll guide us is that the body of Christ or the church will assist you with your gifts. Now, what do I mean by that? I do not mean that we're going to take you into a room and say, let your jaw get loose. Loosen your jaw to where you could, where the word started. This is unbiblical, trying to teach people to speak in tongues. Let that go. Get out of your mind. No. I don't. When the church assists you, it means that we will do things like help you identify and confirm your gift. That's what happened in Acts 6, right? There was what happened? There was a need in the church. The apostles realized they couldn't meet the need, so they said what? Look out among you and see men that have certain gifts. Which means you can identify them because they were involved. The only way you'd know that those men had those gifts and qualities is they had to be involved in the life of the church. Right? So the church helped these men identify their gifts. And here's the other side of that. They didn't just leave it with the church. What they said is that, church, you select them, but we, the apostles, will do what? Confirm them. Everybody who thinks they have a certain gift does not have it. So the church will assist you in both identifying and confirming. The church will also assist you in nurturing and training, like you see there in 2 Timothy 2. All right. So then that's the four principles. All gifts are available to the church as the Holy Spirit desires. Every believer has at least one gift, and no believer has them all. Thirdly, the gifts will manifest themselves as you get involved. And then lastly, the church will assist you with your gifts. All right. Those are the basic principles, and I want to spend maybe another 20 minutes or so. I carved out three gifts here. I don't know how we'll take just enough to where you feel like you're gagging, and then we'll pick up next week. So I want to start with the first gift here in the list. Okay, could you turn back to Romans 12? And I'm going to give you a basic definition of the spiritual gift. And then I'll give you an example. Now, I've already said to you there's only one who perfectly models all the gifts, right? Who is that? Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you, this came early in my years. I used to go through the scriptures and look for other people that modeled gifts. And I'm not denying that there are other people in the scripture that model these gifts, but there's only one that modeled them perfectly. So I've been convinced that it's best to look to Jesus as the model than Peter or Paul or others. All right? You ready? Gift number one is prophecy. You see that in verse 6. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, in other words, if this is your gift, which means that it may what? Not be. But if prophecy is your gift, then exercise it according to the proportion of faith. What is prophecy? This is my definition. And if you can't write it down, that's okay. Hopefully we're recording and you can get it later. But this is my definition. Prophecy is the immediate inspiration from the Holy Spirit to speak truth from God. The immediate inspiration. So prophecy is not something you sit around and plan the night or two nights before. God prompts. He provides immediate inspiration. It wasn't something you were planning to say, but God provides inspiration that causes you to know this is from God. Some people used to say, I've got a word. You remember how they ask Jesus and the apostles when they would come to the synagogue, do you have a word from the Lord? And according to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 3, prophecy is used to edify, exhort, and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. You also notice in verse 30, but if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first must keep silent. What does that mean? That means that you got a man or woman sitting here and something is revealed. God makes known that he wants something said. Now, New Hope, this is not charismatic. It is charismatic in the true sense. But don't think that that I'm trying to turn New Hope into a, quote, charismatic church. We need to be a charismatic church, biblically. Otherwise, then we become those who say, well, that gift is dead. I can tell you, I didn't mention this principle, but I might as well say it. Just as sure as you find the gift being used properly, there's certainly the danger of it being misused. But we must be willing to take the risk. Amen? You raise children? If you're not willing to take the risk, then they won't grow. They won't learn. You've got to let them risk making the mistakes so that you can correct them. What are we? Children. And in our journey up to this point, we've experienced people who, I believe, exercise the gift of prophecy, and we've seen some error, and we've tried to correct it. All right, so that's the definition. Now, let me show you something else about the gift of prophecy. You're in 1 Corinthians 14. If not, just make note of this. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 and 25, notice that the gift of prophecy reveals secrets of the heart leading to conviction and action. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 and 25. And if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. This word that comes from God is designed, and the person speaking doesn't know this. God knows whose heart he's going to work. He's going to use that word to work in. But the word spoken reveals secrets of a person's heart. Let me show you the example of this in John. Would you turn to John chapter 4? Look at Jesus, I believe, seeing how this gift works. John chapter 4, verses 15 through 23. Many of you are familiar with this story. Jesus meets this Samaritan woman here at the well, and he begins this discussion with her, and he asks her for a drink of water, and so she continues. He begins to lay the gospel out to her. She still thinks he's talking about literal water, and he's talking to her about eternal life and eternal water, right? And then we pick up the discussion here in verse 15. Then the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." Verse 16, now look at how prophecy is beginning to work. He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Now wait, where did that come from? This woman says she wants this water. But this word that comes back isn't talking about water. It seems like what Jesus is talking about has nothing to do with the conversation. Go call your husband and come here. Verse 17, the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband.' For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have is not your husband. This you have said truly." Look at verse 19. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Why? "Because you have revealed the secrets of my heart, and I didn't tell you that." Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, look at him. He's still pressing in on what's in our heart, right? Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. You see what he's doing? Digging deep into the secrets of our heart. So what can we say about prophecy? What do we learn from this encounter with Jesus? This gift speaks directly to major issues in people's lives. It speaks directly to sins in people's lives. That's the reason oftentimes the people are uncomfortable around the gift of prophecy. You don't know what it's going to say. You get kind of uneasy around this person because I don't know what might come out of their mouth. Shouldn't you be uneasy around God? I mean, we got one view that says, I want to cuddle up next to God, but my friend, God is holy. God is holy, and we are sinful. When we come into the light, it shines. And it ought to make you a bit uncomfortable for him to shine the light on your soul and see that I'm not where I ought to be. So I'm saying to you, it's a good thing to feel uncomfortable around a person with the gift of prophecy. And we need more people exercising it. I want to say this, a believer can have this gift without being a prophet. Now when I'm talking about this gift, that does not make you a prophet because you have the gift of prophecy. Amen? Even if you don't know that yet, I want to show you. Acts 2 and verse 17. Peter here quoting Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth out of my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. So you have this gift. And you do not have to be a prophet. Well, then, what about this matter of exercising it according to your faith? In the original language, you have two possibilities of what that scripture says. It's either you exercise the gift of prophecy according to your own faith, or according to a definite article, the faith. Now, if it means exercising your gift according to your own faith, it's what's described in Romans 14:23. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if you're going to exercise this gift, it needs to be from conviction. I need to know that this is from God because I'm about to stand and declare that God has revealed something to me. So it needs to be genuine. See, that gets rid of this false thing. I felt some goosebumps and felt I needed to say something. And I'm not talking about just standing up and sharing. That's not prophecy. But this is standing up with a word that I know is from the Lord. I've got full conviction in my heart from the faith that God has given me. And so Romans 14:23 would say, if you're not sure, keep your mouth closed. Whatever is not of faith is sin. But then if it is the faith, then it's the faith that's spoken of in Jude chapter 3. Contending for the faith, which means the faith once given. It's according to the scriptures, okay? According to the Bible. So if I'm going to say something here of God, I want to be sure it does not conflict the scriptures. Well, which one is it? I believe it's both. The person that used this gift needs to be fully convinced and convicted that what you're about to say is of God, and you need to make sure that it does not contradict the Scriptures. According to 1 Corinthians 14, 32 and 33, this gift should not cause disorder or confusion in the church. You shouldn't just be popping up at any time to blurt out what you think God has given you. This gift, well, let me read it for you. You got 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32 and 33. He's given instruction here for how this gift operates. Let me just read 31 through 33. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So in other words, you can't say I couldn't help myself. The Bible says you can. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If it's of God, it can wait until there's an orderly time. Why? For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And as in all the churches of the saints. And then you see that at the end, verse 40, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. God is not causing you to cause disruption in a church service or a church gathering. If he gave you something, my beloved believer with the gift of prophecy, you need to exercise it in a way that brings order and a godly manner and an edifying manner to the church. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Will? Here's what I mean. I believe that this gift is needful in worship. That's the reason we here at New Hope make room for the gift of prophecy after songs. Did y'all know that's the reason we wait? We make room for the gift of prophecy after altar prayer. We make room for the gift of prophecy after the sermon so that it can be done decently and in an orderly fashion. Because we believe it's needful. And for those of you who didn't know that, that's the deal. We don't believe in quenching the Spirit. But we also believe that the Holy Spirit will function in a way that's orderly in the worship or in the gathering. This is a gift that's needed. I'm not going to do this with every gift, but I believe that because this is probably new to some of you, I need to say something. I believe that we've seen it on occasions. I believe there's times that Sister Eleanor has exercised the gift. There's times that Sister Couch exercises the gift. Not only here, but in prayer services. And so I'm not going to go down the list of ones whom I've observed. But let me tell you something. You cannot control the Holy Spirit. So it's okay. It's whenever he desires. You're not going to make any Bible-believing person that every week you're coming with something that God has revealed for you to share to the church. You don't find that pattern in the Bible. It's as he desires. There's times... Look at Abraham's life. There's times God didn't say anything to Abraham for 10 years. So don't be surprised, my brother, my sister who has this gift, if you have these dry times. That's God's prerogative. If he's not to have anything for you to say, then keep your mouth shut. But if he does have something for you to say, you are sinning to hold it back. You see? It's just like Moses. You can't, how are you going to out-argue God? You know, I'm shy. I'm this. I don't talk well. What do folks think of me? I I'm telling you, I'm just burdened. I believe that this gift here just needs to be, and I hope you understand what I'm saying, set free to work. We need you. Some of you young people, you may not know what's happening. We can help you.
Amen.
I believe that this gift is also effective in counseling, just as you see with Christ Jesus. And I thought of this only this time as I studied the gifts. Think of the benefit of someone with the gift of prophecy counseling someone else. Just as Christ here was in having this encounter with this woman, the gift of prophecy gets a prompting from the Holy Spirit. You'll share it with someone that you're counseling, and it reaches in to their heart. You didn't plan it. You didn't figure it out. God just gave it to you, and it was the very thing they needed to hear to bring conviction, to lead them to repentance and action. This is a wonderful gift for counseling. And I don't think we take advantage of it enough. I think sometimes we're so concerned about hurting somebody's feelings that you will quench the spirit when he's told you to say something that you know that person needs to hear. You're afraid of jeopardizing your friendship or those kind of, my brother, my sister, that sin. That's all I know to say to you. And I know we got people here with this gift.
That's right.
You could be helping your brothers and sisters one-on-one because God has shown you something in their life and you refuse to help. You see, it's given for the good of the church and for the glory of God. Already used my 20 minutes. I think we'll end with that. But here's what I want to say. There's some good commentators that I respect with all my heart, but I'm certain they are absolutely wrong on this point. There are commentators that say that prophecy is simply preaching. I'll name you some. I'll just give you a couple so you know. John MacArthur, for example, a man who we respect very much, but he is absolutely wrong on this point. John Calvin, and who am I? I'm not condemning these men or speaking any way negatively. I just believe that they're just like any other man. They can be wrong. And I believe that they're wrong here, and I can tell you why. Because both men had already reached the conclusion that some of the gifts had ceased.
Yes.
When you start there, you will reach wrong conclusions.
Right,
you see? That's the reason I laid out the principle up front. No man has the authority to say what has stopped.
Amen.
To say what the Holy Spirit will or won't or can't do. They reached that conclusion, therefore they have to say, this supernatural gift here is not fine. See, and I know men that do this to try to control what they think is fanaticism in their church. That's not your... When a gift is being misused, then you correct it.
Yes.
Don't quench the spirit.
Amen.
Well, thought I was going to cover three, but I guess that's it. Growing up in Arkansas, as a little boy, y'all who grew up in the city, when it comes time to learn how to swim, you know, your parents sign you up for a swim class.
Amen.
You know, and go to the nice, safe water, and they let you get used to the water, and you know, and get all comfortable. But where I grew up, I don't remember when they finally got a swimming pool in the park, but that was a long time. Swimming, where I came from, you didn't see the bottom. of the pond.
All right.
And they didn't say, come, let's wade. You want to learn to swim, you get pushed in. And you better see if you got the gift. Or else you're going to learn what it feels like to get some pond juice. So, you know, you find out, I didn't know I could swim.
Amen.
Until I got involved. But you see, that was being forced to get involved. Now, everybody didn't have to get pushed in the pond. Some people willingly got in there. They didn't know they could swim, but they got in and tried it. Now, what is it going to be, my brother, my sister? Are you going to have to be knocked in? Or will you willingly? Come on. Come on in. The water is fine. Stop standing around the bank. You're not going to learn to swim standing around watching everybody else swim. I don't know one person that learned to swim by standing on the bank looking at everybody else. Do you? You learn to swim by getting what? In the water. My brother, my sister, I'm just saying that it's time for you to get involved. God put you in the ship to help with the ship. The scriptures are to serve as a mirror for the saint. You know, as we've looked in the mirror of the scriptures today, I've got a question for you. Have you seen yourself? Have you seen your gift? I will confess that I didn't make as much progress today as I wanted. But have you seen a gift that you might think is in your brother or your sister that sits next to you or across the aisle from you? What have you seen as you looked in the mirror of the scriptures today? Now, if you've seen anything that applies to you, the Bible, the book of James says, don't be like the person that goes and looks in the mirror and sees what's true and then turns away and pretend that you didn't see it. If you've got the gift of prophecy, don't run. Don't look in the mirror and say, well, I think that describes me, and then turn away and pretend like you never heard it. That's just a hearer of the word. But be a doer, right? If what you saw applies to you, obey God. Now, if you saw something that applies to your brother or sister, don't be indifferent about it. Help them. Don't go and push them in the pond. Go and encourage them. The water is okay. Encourage them to get involved. If you're not sure, and I know many of us are not sure, you know, I've been really thankful for your honesty on our membership profiles. Because it's better to be honest when it comes to this matter of gifts than to just pretend. Right? The Bible calls that a hypocrite. You know what the word hypocrite means? Two-faced. Did y'all notice when we were growing up, that's what it means when folks say you're two-faced? You got one face on when I'm looking at you, and you got another face and that's what you're doing if you're pretending that you know what your gifts are and you don't. So just be for real. And if you don't know, don't be discouraged. Seek the Lord in prayer. Ask Him for help. Ask the church for help. He wants to help you. We want to help you. He wants to see you involved, and we want to see you involved. What will it take for you to get involved? Jesus said it this way: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so that's really all I'm asking you, my brother, my sister. Do you love Jesus? Then won't you obey him? His church needs you. He didn't send you to. You know, I believe that's one reason God didn't make a big congregation. We're a small church. There's nowhere to hide. Look around you. When I say we need you, it ought to be obvious. Our Father, thank you for your great care for us. Thank you for being so patient and dealing with us tenderly. Lord, today would you reveal to someone's heart why they ought to get involved. Reveal needs that they can meet, and then help them to meet them. Thank you for giving every Christian a part, a role, the privilege of serving in your church. Thank you for giving us special gifts to do these special jobs. Lead us on now, that we might serve and worship you with joy, contentment, and fulfillment. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen.